Welcome to In the Middle with You, a podcast where we invite you into the day-to-day of our middle school community. I'm Gaia Altshuler, your social, emotional learning and wellness counselor at the middle school, and I'm here with Tammy Cuckoo, the vice principal at the middle school. We hope you are enjoying your winter break, your ski week. That is the week that this episode is coming out. Miss Cuckoo, going into our ski week, do you have any fun plans?
You know, I only have one plan, and I'm hoping to spend some time with my sister. And she's been going through something tough, so yeah. I'm hoping that we can get to spend some time together and do some fun things. What about you?
I'm really glad you're prioritizing that. You know, I'm prioritizing rest. Oh, I'm just really looking forward to having no plans. Maybe not setting my alarm for the day. Those little things sound really, really nice. And I think our students are excited about the same thing.
Yes, I have heard about the Aspen trips, but I've also heard about just hanging out.
Staycation maybe, a beach day if the sunshine comes out.
I would love for the sunshine to come out.
Me too. I'm thankful for the rain, but I think we could all use a day at the beach for sure. So lots to look forward to. We're excited to welcome everybody back for the back half of the rest of this semester. There's a lot of exciting things coming. Yep. But last week, we shared some data that we collected from a friendship survey that we provided to our sixth through eighth graders about friendship breakups, what voices they listen to the loudest, what they enjoy doing with their friends. We broke down some of that data last week. And this week, we really want to dive into what are the developmental norms around friendship in the middle school stage of development. So, Tammy, can you kick us off with what that looks like?
Yeah, I'd love to. I think let's start the conversation with relationships truly do look different at each grade level. And there's developmentally so many things happen between, I'm going to even go to fifth grade, between fifth grade and eighth grade, and the way that your student interacts with other students, the way that they interact with you, the way that they interact with other adults who are speaking into their lives through maybe sports or maybe theater, any extracurricular activity. We start to see the changes in those students. So a social norm that we have noticed, is when you're in grade school, you know, K to five, everyone is invited. Everyone is a part of what's happening, right? Like, have you ever watched kids at a park? No one is like, you cannot go on the merry-go-round. Everybody's on it. Birthday party, fifth grade, invite the whole class. We're here for it. Then we start to see a small shift in sixth grade, and I think that this shift is pretty similar amongst both genders, boys and girls, but we start to see a more hyper focus on a certain interest. So be that cheerleading, be that gaming, be that playing an instrument, whatever that interest is, we decide, ooh, these people are cool because they like the same things I like. And that's enough for us to be in relationship together.
So even though those friendship groups maybe are forming, I would say in sixth grade, those friendship groups are still very large.
Super large.
Anyone's welcome if they share common interests.
Totally. Common interests, you are welcome. And then we get to the second semester of sixth grade, and we're still there. But we start to see those who are a little bit more mature start to have these small fractures in the foundation of their relationship. And as you can see, the foundation of our relationships aren't too deep when we're a kid. So the foundation of that relationship in sixth grade is usually some common interest. And in grade school, K to five, it's just, you're around me, so let's hang out. Seventh grade is where we see a big shift, especially right after we come back from retreats. When we come back from retreats, everyone is high on each other. They're excited. We've spent a solid 48 hours together, boys and girls. And within that 48 hours, because we've never spent that much time together, things happen.
Yes.
And we have highs and lows and we have emotional roller coasters, but generally we're feeling good. Then the second semester of seventh grade happens and we start to see some fractures.
Yeah.
And I think some of those fractures are because we are developing more intimate relationships mm-hmm. with people, or we desire that. We want to talk about more than the latest lip gloss or the best mm-hmm. video game. We want to talk about how we're feeling and what we're dealing with, maybe at home and at school. And a large group just, that doesn't work. It gets tough. So that's why we start to see these fractures and we see our kids working so hard to keep them together.
So hard.
They're like, no, there's going to be 15 of us together.
And sometimes when you hold on so hard, it almost makes the friendship breakup more intense, potentially worse.
Totally.
Instead of that open-handedness.
And we see that mostly in girls.
Yeah.
Boys, we see the groups kind of break mm-hmm. down, mm-hmm. but it's a little more natural. Mm-hmm. And I actually don't know if it's because they would just rather not share those emotions with mm-hmm. us, or they just kind of are like, it's okay. These three guys are with me and it used to be 10 of us and now there's three and it's totally fine. Mm-hmm. They do have a way of cutting each other with their words though. And it's really just a natural thing that happens because we have a hard time expressing that, hey, I really am okay with you, but I just want to hang out with Joey right now. So because we don't have language for that, we say something that's so cutting and it hurts the other person.
And we are stuck in the middle in seventh grade.
Totally.
And I think our resiliency maybe gets a little bit worn down over time too. This grade just isn't easy. And I think we see that in the relational dynamics.
Yeah. So, you know, our friends who are stuck in the middle, they struggle. They're not new. They're not leaving. Mm-hmm. They're still here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And our bodies are changing.
Yeah.
And in ways that we don't understand. And we're having emotions, sometimes anger, sometimes sadness. And we can't explain it. And people are asking us because we want to make them feel better. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just can't. Mm-hmm. So that's seventh grade. Eighth grade. We start to see a growing level of confidence in eighth grade. And we're starting to be able to navigate a hallway mm-hmm. on our own. Mm-hmm. Some of us are trying that out. Our friendships become bigger than just I play basketball and you play the violin and I love fantasy books. They are becoming way more intimate. We mm-hmm. also are starting to develop relationships that we're confident to even act upon of the opposite gender. Mm-hmm. And that just creates an entirely different dynamic.
Way more nuance.
Between boys and mm-hmm. girls and girls and girl friendship and boy friendship mm-hmm. and then girls and boys friendship. Mm-hmm. They're just having a lot going on and they're leaving something that's been so familiar for so long mm-hmm. and they're getting a little bit more autonomy. Mm-hmm. So we start to see friendships in eighth grade solidify. They become a little more important to us and that voice becomes louder. But we want you to remember that you're still the loudest voice in your kids' lives, according to them. You want to expound upon that, Gaia?
Yeah, we're going to touch on that. Absolutely. There's also a few more just overall general considerations, whether you have a sixth grader, a seventh grader, an eighth grader, a son or daughter. There are some principles that are really important to remember during the ebbs and flow of middle school friendship. And the first one is that friendships are fluid in middle school, right? They are ever changing, like Tammy touched on, that friendships will slip away. Sometimes there's a reason and sometimes they just dissipate. And either way, that's hard.
It's tough. Yeah. It's tough to lose those. And I can imagine as a parent watching a sadness in your student that you didn't see before, you want to jump in there and you want to fix it.
Yes.
And sometimes it just can't happen.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about your role as a parent in middle school friendships. But I think another thing to remember is how normal it is for friendships to change. It doesn't mean something is wrong. It might just mean that your child is growing up, that they're maturing. And I think we can all point back to a time in our adolescent journeys where we felt like everything was falling apart.
Totally.
Right?
I mean, I could point to 1,000 right now.
Yeah. So I think it's an important reminder of everything will be okay. Even if it doesn't feel like it will be, you being that secure foundation for your child and reminding them everything will be okay is so important because your voice deeply matters to them. I also want to highlight that if your child is having a difficult time with friendships and maybe it is a reoccurring pattern, something you can help shift their focus to is what kind of friend they are. Because there's a lot in middle school that's out of a child's control, right? Most things.
We try to get kids to focus on what's in their control all the time.
Yes.
It always is a win.
So when we can help them think about the kind of friend that you're seeking, how can you be that friend? Mm. And one thing is, yes, we're going to encourage you to go be that friend, but that doesn't take away the disappointment or the sadness.
No.
But let's think about what outlets we should go to express that frustration. Should we go do that with a friend? Maybe it wouldn't be the most effective thing.
I think reminding the student that when they took this survey, they said that the loudest voices and the most important voices were their parents.
Yes.
So I think as many opportunities that you can take with your child to just have casual conversation, not an opportunity to, is your homework done? Did you do this or that? Just more of a relaxful, maybe walk after dinner, maybe a talk during dinner, maybe right before school, or just when you're on an outing. Just a casual conversation. We're not trying to fix something. We're building our bond and relationship.
Absolutely.
Our students truly desire that.
They do. They need a healthy place to process or vent. And if they don't have that, it might come out a little bit sideways in their social spaces that are going to lead to some repercussions. So
totally.
Those spaces are so helpful. Another thing I want you to consider is the value of your student casting a wide net. This is one of my favorite conversations to have with students when they come in and are experiencing friendship challenges. Our school, and much like any school at this phase of development, operates off groups. It's so normal. Your middle schooler is looking to belong, right?
Totally.
So when they find that group, they are going to hold on to that at all costs. But what's dangerous about that is when something happens in the friend group, whether there's a reason it dismantles or it just starts to fizzle, that can be very alarming to an individual because they feel like they have nowhere to go or anyone to belong to.
It can also be stifling because your student might be making some changes within themselves and they're fighting so hard to belong to something that isn't bad.
Yeah.
But it's just not for them anymore, that they might stifle their own selves to stay a part of something. And we don't want that.
We do not want that. So one thing I really challenge students to do, and I know I'm calling them to the higher road, absolutely, but I truly believe being a floater among groups is a superpower. If you can build individual friendships that allow you to have many places of belonging, that is a really helpful tip to navigating the ups and downs of middle school relationships. And then the next idea here that we want to share is that kindness always trumps popularity. And Tammy has a really interesting study that I want her to share of how those two things correlate, kindness and popularity.
Yeah, I think that when you watch movies in the 90s, and I'm going to talk about that because that's my era.
Dating ourselves.
I'm thinking some of you parents are from that era. You know, they portray that these kind kids are not popular kids. Mm. And popular kids are actually not necessarily popular in the movie. They're feared. So people are around them because they fear them. But what's interesting is in the studies that I looked at, and I've kind of just thought about this often because we're always telling our kids, be kind, be kind, be kind. Mm-hmm. Being kind is a long-term success.
Yeah.
Long-term, you will have much more fruitful relationships from being kind. But if you are just you're just a popular kid and you're seeking out popularity and you're not seeking out to actually have a character that mm-hmm. is kind to others, mm-hmm. You will have a short term where you are the dominant person and people might want to be around you, but it's superficial.
Mm-hmm.
It usually relies in something or something that you offer.
Mm-hmm.
And we really, of course, you want to offer beyond your character, the things that you're offering people should not be the only reason why they're in a relationship with you. It won't last.
Absolutely. I know we echo throughout our hallways, kindness, 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 but it's because we really believe in the power of kindness and we have watched the outcome of what happens when you treat others with kindness is it is returned back to you. So
Absolutely.
It kind of goes back to that idea of be the friend that you're looking for.
Yep.
Right. And then the last just general concept we want to talk about today is just the power of friendship circles and identifying the role that someone plays in your life, right? We talk about this all the time.
And, you know, that term friend
mm-hmm.
is a big term,
mm-hmm.
right? And when I think about friendship
mm-hmm.
right now in my life, I can point to about 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids are starting to learn that, oh, I love playing baseball with this person.
In a shared interest.
Right. I mm-hmm. love shopping with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And this person, I can actually do both of those things and share something deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to realize that, hey, we don't have to have everything in common mm-hmm. to be mm-hmm. friends. But based on certain things that we're offering each other, it changes the dynamic of that relationship. We'll get into that as we continue to go through this series,
yeah.
is learning how to navigate the relationships in mm-hmm. your life well based on what you're sharing with each other.
Yeah, the access that someone should have
exactly.
to your life, right? So we will continue to break that down. But lastly, we just want to touch on the parental response here. What is your role as a parent in helping your child navigate this time? Hopefully what you've heard from us today is it is so unbelievably normal for your child's friendships to ebb and flow. There's
totally.
Going to be high highs. There's going to be low lows. And the question is, what is your role in that, right? It hurts to see your child go through something uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
They are an extension of you. It's literally your heart walking outside of your body. And so it is so normal as a parent to want to step into the fixer role and alleviate any level of discomfort. But as the number one voice in their life, they need you to remain regulated through their ups and downs. They need you to be the calm in their chaos.
Absolutely.
So a really good question that you can ask yourself as your child comes home and shares with you the ups and downs of their day is, does my child want or need me to help right now, to fix right now? Or do they need someone to listen to them right now
right.
and to be a place that they can vent right now? And if they do need you to help, what does it look like to problem solve with them
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily take the problem from them and return it to them fixed? So that is something that could maybe guide the way you walk through this season of parenthood is, do they need a fixer and a problem solver, or do they need a listener right now?
Yeah. And someone to walk alongside them mm-hmm. as they try different mm-hmm. things and navigating their issue. I've found that over, you know, the 20 years that I've been in education,
yeah.
when talking with students who are dealing with issues mm-hmm. with their relationships,
mm-hmm.
Listening to them and then helping them process through where they'd like to see this end, and then exhibiting character traits
yes.
and actions that lead to that end mm-hmm. are the most helpful. When I just bring students in and chat yeah. with both sides and create agreements between the two that I will monitor,
mm-hmm.
It works,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't work for their life long term. It's yeah. a short term solution.
And friendships is a lifelong experience. So if we can gain these skills now, we're going to be on a much better path for the future. So that being said, what is our call to action this week?
Our call to action is We're here to partner with you.
Yes.
We're here to partner with you. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
On things that, you know, you might be struggling mm-hmm. with and things that we see as mm-hmm. norms. You might just need to hear that
yeah.
what you're hearing at home is something that you're not the only one hearing.
Yes.
Because, you know, you're parenting your child and your child alone. You're not mm-hmm. hearing about the other kids and the things that they're dealing with. So I hope mm-hmm. that it was comforting to hear that everyone is dealing with some things, but most importantly, that we are an extension of you.
Yes.
This community is one that goes together mm-hmm. and we'd love to partner with you in helping your kids through the highs and the lows mm-hmm. of forming their social relationships, but most importantly, help them yeah. and helping them looks like guiding them. It doesn't look like doing it for mm-hmm. them or avoiding hard conversations and I can't promise them that harsh things won't be said or things won't be done, but we can help them navigate through those things. So it's our call to action this week. And then our verse of the week is James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I hope some of these tips were helpful. Yeah. We will be coming to you again in the next week and continuing some data from our friendship survey. We'll mm-hmm. break down what different relationships look like. And we're looking forward to doing that.
Yes.
And we'll see you next week in the middle with you.